Welcome back, ladies. We missed you. If you guys want to find your seats, get settled. Just a few quick announcements. It's orientation. We love you, ladies. We're glad you're back. We're excited for the semester. In your hands, you should have from the greeters a new moderator location list. So check that before you go to your small group. Otherwise, you're going to end up in the wrong small group, and they're going to keep you because they love you. On the back of that, you actually have the February outreach. I'm just so excited. I can't even talk. I missed you guys so much. The February outreach, you guys want to be sure and be here next week because we are having Kelly O'Hay, and she's a Global Adventures missionary from Uganda, and she's doing some cool things out there, so she's going to come and talk to us. Quick 5-minute presentation, so don't miss that next week. Ladies, Parchments loves you just as much as we do, and to welcome you back today, they're giving you 30% off an entire purchase. So go by there afterwards and say a big thank you and shop, shop, shop. Aftercare, if you ladies have 45 minutes in the morning beforehand or an hour after study, the children's ministry has their own little small group and our moderators come and pray, so they all have kiddos that need care. So if you have 45 minutes in the morning before the study, so like at, I think it's 8:45, and then an hour afterwards from noon to 1, that you can give to those children's ministry workers so they can have a small group in prayer time, that would be great. You're welcome to come talk to me in the office, and I will show you how that works. And then that's it. Just please remember to turn off your cell phones. We missed you, and this morning we have Nick and Shayna Creswa doing worship for us.
Thank you, Shayna. Thank you, Nick and Sandy. Hi, guys. I'm Lenya Heitzig. How many of you are new? God bless you. Thank you for coming back. If you don't know me, I'm Lenya Heitzig. I'm Skip's wife. And you guys may not know, last semester I went through a season of illness. I was diagnosed with cancer, and I just finished my last chemo at the end of November. This is a wig. Pretty soon I'm going to go full Eurythmics on you. And you're going to just see really short blonde hair. But we're getting there. So enough about myself. I really think, not just for me, that this is going to be a season of change for you. Because God loves change. That's why we have four seasons. That's why there's different things that happen in our lives. And we watch as the children of Israel go through so many changes. I love the last song, from mourning to dancing, from having garments of, you know, mourning to rags. We go from rags to riches, so to speak. And for me, I'm looking forward to the season of going from sickness to health. I don't know about you, what season are you in that you would like to see change? Maybe it's financially. You would like to go from the season of debt to, you know, prosperity. Maybe it's a relationship that you'd like to go from a relationship that's broken to being fixed. But I'm sure that each one of you have come here and you have something going on in your life that you would like to see God change. And so that's what we're praying for you too. And we pray that as you go through that change, that you will live reflectively, that you will shine and you will radiate and you will show what God is doing in your life, just as Moses reflected and showed the children of Israel the works of God in the midst of them. And that's why we call it live reflectively, because Moses has these watershed moments in his life. Let's start in prayer and then we'll jump into some little devotions. Lord, we praise you and thank you that you are a God who can change anything. You're the God of second chances. You're the Redeemer, Lord. There's no pit so deep. There's no mound of debt so high. There's no situation so desperate that you can't come to that place and change it and shed your light and bring living water to dry, barren places. And so I just pray that this semester, Lord, these ladies would experience change in their lives. They would be sanctified. They would change from glory to glory, Lord. Not saying they're bad, just praying that they will get better, that they will expand their borders, Lord, that they will see your glory, that they will know you in deeper and better ways, and they will be joyful where perhaps there's been mourning, Lord. This is a work only you can do. And you promise to do this work when we're in your word and when we're in fellowship, Lord, that it's the word that does the work in our lives. And you say where two or more are gathered, you're together with us. So being together brings this power and this hope for change, Lord, as we can be agents of that for one another. So I just want to fill this semester with expectation, ladies. Lord, please raise up their expectation that their hope and their sight and their eyes would be on you and the things of the world would grow dim. In Jesus' name. Just to verify what Misty said, you got one of these when you walked in the door. What you're going to do, I'm going to take care of this housekeeping quickly. Turn to your small group section and you see where it says moderator and room assignments. Just rip that out, and that's no longer relevant. And then back in the announcement section, tuck this new one in. So that's what you're going to do with that piece of paper. It's replacing the old one. Pull out the small group one. Just tuck it away. You don't have to throw it so dramatically as I did. You might want to look for a trash can. And then put it in the outreach section. And now you know what to do with that piece of paper. If you want to flip over once you've done that, see, this is one of the rare times we let you click in the women's ministry. Once you've finished your clicking, turn over to the homework section and open it to the page that says Watershed Moments with Moses. Okay, some of you slow clickers. Finish it up. Okay, in the homework section, under Watershed Moments with Moses, in that first paragraph, midway through, it says, Watershed describes a key point in life that causes a division, a change of course, or creates a turning point. Watershed moments alter an individual's attention, actions, and attitudes. And that's what we're highlighting with Moses, these watershed moments that Moses had, the parting of the Red Sea, water from a rock, the thundering and lightning from Mount Sinai with the commandments, meeting a wife at the Midianite well. These were the moments in his life that kind of stood up above the rest. Well, we wanted to start this morning by letting the teachers, the worship leaders, the homework writers, and some of the study leaders share a watershed moment from their lives, and I get to go first. So my watershed moment, I'm just going to give it a name. Not everybody gave them names, so you guys go, oh, no, I didn't name my watershed moment. Because, you know, women compare themselves now. Now they're going to go, oh, no one told me to name it. It's just me. I named my watershed moment. I called it the power of three. You see, because as I've been observing Moses, I've written this homework with some contributors over the last season, I noticed that Moses faced most of the trials of taking 2 to 3 million immigrants from Egypt to Canaan. He faced them by himself. It had to be pretty lonely being Moses, because a lot of times it was, you know, everybody else complaining to him. And there were these circumstances that were probably pretty tough. Yes, he had Aaron, his brother, that was supposed to be his mouthpiece. But even Aaron goes sideways a couple of times. And there's no diminishing or, you know, making small that God said he would be with Moses. God was with Moses. But there are times in our lives we just want the human touch. I know Skip has told this story, but I think it suits beautifully about the boy who didn't like being left alone after he was tucked in bed at night. And the parents over and over would say, Jesus said he'll never leave you or forsake you. The Lord is with you. And, you know, it kind of worked okay until one night there was a horrible storm and the boy cried out, Daddy, I need you. And he said, don't worry, Jesus is with you. And he said, but I want someone with skin on. Have you ever been in a circumstance you want someone with skin on? You may be crying at home and reading and praying with your Bible, and you are talking to God, but you're, God, could I just have someone with skin on during this time in my life? And I think Moses felt like that. And I feel like that sometimes, you know? Well, the real circumstance where I think this watershed time for Moses is the first enemies they meet are the Amalekites, and they rally together to come out against this new fledgling nation that's just wandering through the wilderness. And this must have been terrifying, that they're meeting their first enemy, and it's going to be a battle. And I'm sure Moses was like, what, you know, there is, the buck stops here. There's nobody else I can go to help. So he tells Joshua, you run the charge against them, and I'll go up on top of this hill. And I think he was going to watch and pray. And it says that as he held the rod of God in his hands, that Israel prevailed, but his arms started getting weak. And if he put the rod down, then the Amalekites would prevail. Well, that's when the power of three came into being. Because Aaron and Hur came up to the top of the mountain, and one stood on each side of Moses' arms and helped him lift the rod in the air. Now, I don't know what your rod is. Again, it could be debt, illness, death, loneliness, depression, anxiety, shattered dreams, and you're just really tired of holding that rod in the air. And if you could just have someone with flesh on that would come alongside of you. Well, the scripture really does verify this power of three. Jesus said, for where two or three are gathered in my name, then I am in the midst. Solomon said it even better, if you can do that, and it was more specific to a trial. He says, though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, but a threefold cord is not quickly broken. So I'm going to even say that it's not just the power of three, it's the power of we. When we are together, we're better and we're stronger. As a matter of fact, you can't get a better example than the Holy Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They were better together in this Godhead. And it's been true for me. So my watershed times of the power of three, the power of we, I miscarried early in our marriage and we had no children. And two women came to me and said they'd pray weekly with me until I conceived. And that's when I got Nathan. There was another time in my life that the women's ministry here in Albuquerque was really struggling. And I'd kind of given up. I just said, I'd quit. I don't know what to do. Two women came and said, let's just pray. And when God finally tells you what to do, we'll do it. There's nothing like the power of three. When Skip and I moved to Ocean Hills, there were some people that were unkind. And confrontive with their unkindness. And one day I was in the parking lot and someone just went off on me, and unprovoked. And these two women had watched in a car what was going on, and they came to me and they said, we saw what happened and we just want you to know we're going to pray. And then they invited me to a prayer meeting in their home, and that's where the women's ministry at Ocean Hills sprang from. Two women who just said, we'll come pray. And then, of course, as I've told you this last season, I was diagnosed with cancer. And boy, did women pray. It was the power of we to not face something alone. So I'm just going to leave you with, do you have the power of three working in your life? Is there someone, when you're facing the hard times, that will come hold your arms up to pray with you, to stand with you, to walk with you, to cry with you, to help you? And if you don't, then stick to this study and go to your small groups. I know that you're great. We want you to do the homework because I wrote it. Do it. And we want you to come hear the teachers because they study hard and pray and ask for the Spirit to tell them what to teach you. But you know what? There is power in your small groups. When two or more gather, there is great power. And if you are suffering, then there's someone there that will grab your arm and help walk along with you. So that's my watershed moment, the power of three. I'm going to sparkle it up. So now some of the other leaders are going to come up and share their moment. And Carmen, who's one of our teachers, is next.
Buenos días. Good morning, ladies. My name is Carmen Camino, and I'm one of your teachers here at the Women at Calvary. And also, I'm overseer of the evening Bible study. 12 years ago, my husband and I had a custom home built in Placidas. Oh, I was so excited because I was going to be able to pick and choose all the details for my new home. One day, my daughter Nanny called and said, "Mom, I just got the most wonderful Christmas bonus ever. I have paid off all my bills, and I still have $3,000 left over. And since you're building a home, I thought maybe you would like to use this money for last-minute expenses. And then, when you're settled in, maybe you can pay me." Oh, thank you. I was not going to pass up this opportunity. Right before we moved into our new home, actually the very same month, I gave my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. What a holy moment. But in no time, I lost my business, my financial stability, my credit. I owed a lot of money. I couldn't even get a job. Those were hard times. We needed two incomes, and we only had one. A year later, my sweet and beautiful daughter got married. It was just a lovely wedding. But shortly thereafter, the phone call came. "Mom, we just gave a deposit for our new home. But I need the $3,000 you owe me as part of our down payment when we close." Ooh. So I calmly asked, "Well, Nanny, when is your closing date?" She said, "March." "Good. It was September. I still had some time." And so I said, "Not to worry. I'll give you the money in January. The Lord will provide." "Are you sure?" She had her doubts. But I trusted the Lord. I knew He was going to come through for me. And I prayed, "Lord, please help." October came, then November, then December. I was running out of time. Then came the new year. And the first business day of that year was January the 3rd. And as I was checking the mail, I opened this particular envelope, and I found a check for $9,000. Oh, I thought, it certainly has to be a fake check that sometimes people get in the mail. So I showed it to my husband. He looked at it, and he said, "This check is for real." It so happened. And with God, there are no coincidences. At that time, we owned a commercial property together with some partners. And the property was not on the market. But the government needed a sliver of our land to build the road. So they had bought a portion of our property. I was dying to tell my daughter that I had the money. God had given us triple the amount that we needed to pay her. And when God gives, He gives increasingly abundantly. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? No. Nothing. So I wanted to send Nanny the money because at that time she lived in Florida. But I envisioned this butler walking into her office wearing white gloves and carrying a silver platter with a fancy envelope and saying, "Madam, here's your check plus a bonus for your kindness and patience." Oh, it sounded so good. But not so much dreaming for me. I had to settle for FedEx. God opened the Red Sea for me exactly when I needed it. Like Moses, sometimes we're trapped between a rock and a hard place in our lives. The devil is nipping at our heels, and trouble is just staring at our face. What do? We walk with the Lord. We walk with him through the storm. We trust him, and then we watch him work. And he will open the Red Sea. He did it for me. He'll do it for you. Amen?
Amen.
You're welcome. And now, Miss Larissa.
Good morning, ladies. My name is Larissa Lusco, and I'm married to Pastor Chip Lusco, and I'm one of the pastor's wives here on staff. Now, several years ago, when I was green out of high school, I can remember applying for a job that promised to pay the big bucks. Now, I was desperate for a job, and I was just sure that making the big bucks was just for me. Now, the interview process was more of a group audition. We were all handed scripts, and we were told, read. Well, the competition began as the 10 of us started vying for the hiring manager's ear. Now, due to my vast years of experience, I happen to have a couple of years of high school drama, and I just naturally have a loud voice. I was immediately plucked out of the group, placed at a desk, handed my very own telephone, a telephone book, and I was welcomed to my new career in telemarketing. Well, after 4 long, horrendous hours of cold calling one person after another, receiving rejection after rejection, I was escorted to the door, and I was literally told, "Don't call us, we'll call you." I was mortified. This promising new career, making the big bucks, was not at all what I had expected. It was a very bitter experience indeed. And this reminded me of the children of Israel, of the Israelites, in Exodus 15. After crossing the Red Sea on dry ground, they wandered into the wilderness of Shur. Now, Shur, the word Shur means a wall. So they left the Red Sea only to hit a wall. But then, after 3 long days of wandering in the wilderness, they found water. I mean, finally, hydration. We can water the cattle, the children. We're not going to perish here. But as they approached the water, they quickly realized that it was not at all what they had expected. The waters were bitter and undrinkable. Well, I'm sure that many of you here this morning can relate to circumstances in life that look promising, but they end up being not at all what you expected. Perhaps it was a relationship, or maybe it was a job, or perhaps it's a marriage. Maybe you thought you were being punished for something when, in fact, all along, it's just been God's preparation for his divine plan in your life. See, sometimes our disappointments are God's divine appointments for us. So perhaps you're here this morning in a situation now, and it's just not at all what you expected. I just want to encourage you to hang in there, because God is able to give you beauty for ashes and the oil of joy for mourning. He's promised to work all things together for good. Well, who here has heard of the miracle fruit? Anyone? Couple people? Okay. Well, the miracle fruit is a plant that produces berries, and when these berries are eaten, the molecules in the berries bind to the tongue's taste buds, causing all sour foods, such as lemons or limes, to taste sweet. Well, verse 25 in Exodus 15 says that the Lord showed Moses a tree, and when he cast it into the waters were made sweet. And that's what the Lord did in my life. He took my dire, bitter situation, and he made it sweet by providing a job that was above and beyond all that I could ever ask or imagine. This job allowed me to operate in my strengths. It was a Fortune 500 company that came with full benefits and paid top dollar. How's that for making bitter things sweet? J. Vernon McGee said, "Behind every shadow, there's a light. Behind every cloud, there's a silver lining. Behind every storm, there's a rainbow. And behind every trial, there's a triumph." Remember, ladies, weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. And now I'd like to welcome Miss Shayna Crespo.
Well, in my somewhat short life, I have experienced God providing in miraculous ways in so many different occasions. Sometimes he's provided people. Sometimes he's provided places, opportunities that I would have never gotten. But as I was thinking about this, I thought, you know, there's been a time in my recent life where God provided for our family in a very practical and real way. And it was a challenge to me because I realized that maybe there had been other opportunities where God had tried to provide something and I hadn't let him. So let me just tell you the story. This summer, Skip was going through the church series and he was talking on prayer, and we came home from church and our fridge was broken. I had just stocked the fridge full of groceries. And so here I had, like, you know, hundreds of dollars of groceries rotting and just terribly disgusting, and I was just devastated. And Nick and I had been really working to do, what's his name, Larissa, the financial plan, the Dave Ramsey plan, sorry. So we're like on this financial freedom plan, and we'd been doing so good at it, and I felt like God was really blessing us, and it was really this exciting thing. So then we come home, and I'm like, oh man, this is really gonna mess up our financial freedom plan. And So it was really frustrating, and I immediately, like, called my parents, because that's just what I do. And I called my parents, and I told them my sad story. This is so terrible. Don't you feel sorry for us? Isn't this awful? And, you know, my mom said, oh, that's just terrible, honey. And she calls back a couple hours later, and she says, your dad and I want to give you a fridge. We want to buy you a fridge. And I immediately go to Nick and I said, Nick, God has provided. We have my parents. God is using my parents to buy us a brand new fridge. Isn't this wonderful? And I was really excited about God's provision and thankful for his provision. And Nick said, honey, I think that's really great. But I really feel like, you know, we've been listening to these messages on prayer. I really feel like God wants to provide in a supernatural way, and that you and I need to take some time and just fast and pray about this. Now, ladies, we were eating out of a cooler. This was not like a wait on the Lord kind. This was like, I'm like, we have a baby. Are you kidding me? We can't eat out of a, I can't even keep milk in that thing. And it was very traumatic for me, but Nick just was convinced. He said, just trust me. Just give me a week. Let's just take a week and we'll just pray and we'll fast about this and just see what God wants to do. Now, we did have money and savings, but it would have put a damper in our financial freedom if we took out all this money. But anyway, so we continue. I know this sounds really silly, but anyway, so we continue. So I said, fine. And begrudgingly, don't get me wrong, I'm not like an easily submissive wife. It was begrudgingly that I had to say, okay, we'll do it. And every day we'd come home and I'd be making dinner. And like, look what I have to do out of this cooler. And thinking of this was so terrible, brought to tears like every mealtime. And then one day, like, it was just, I was finally like, Nick, I cannot do this anymore. I'm calling my parents. I'm going to say it's a loan. It won't even accept it for free. I said, you know what? We'd be happy to pay you back. That way we've got time to save up. And he said, you know, fine, honey. You know, we'll do it. We'll do it your way. And he went to work that day, and I hadn't called my parents yet, but he was talking to some friends in the coffee shop, and he said, you know, I guess he was looking kind of blue. Imagine that. Your wife's completely unsubmissive and your husband's looking blue. But anyway, so he says, his friend says, hey, you know, is there anything that you need? And Nick jokingly said, yeah, you happen to have an extra fridge on hand? And this friend said, actually, yeah. We just moved into this house. We bought a brand new fridge. So we have our old one. It's in really good condition. We'd be happy to gift it to you. And Nick was like, wow, this is amazing. So he calls me up and he's like, did you call your parents? And I said, no, but I'm going to, because I'm not eating out of this cooler one more day. And he tells me this story, and I just started to weep at my unfaithfulness to trusting in the Lord and my thankfulness for having a husband who was willing to just guide me and lead me in a way that we could see God provide in this miraculous way. And the most amazing thing about it was that the fridge that we were gifted was so much nicer than what we would have been able to afford ourselves, or even that my parents, I mean, sorry, Mom and Dad, but, you know, or even that they were planning on giving. It was just such a beautiful, amazing testimony on God just raining down manna from heaven, and we continued in our financial plan to freedom. And I learned to submit.
To follow these great gals. As we were sitting here, I'm sitting next to Misty, and oh, by the way, my name's Kimber, and I work in the office, and I do these special events. So any of you ever want to help, I'll find lots of, I have plenty of work for you, so come and see me. But as I was sitting here next to Misty, and we were listening to Larissa, last week we were working on the stage, and doesn't it look great? Con did a great job. But Con was in our office, he's our graphic designer, and he said, you know, Kimber, Jesus loves you. And I said, no, he doesn't, Con, he hates me. And I'm just in a season right now where it feels like that, and I'm sure that some of you may feel like that too. And he said, no, Kimber, he doesn't hate you, he just has lessons for you. And I think that that's what I'm excited about with this study in Moses, because you look at the children of Israel, and they're constantly complaining. And I'm sure that they felt like God hated them. Just as Larissa was saying, when they were led to that wall of water, and you're like, what, God? Are you joking? You've got to be kidding. And here I followed you, and then you lead me here. And honestly, that's kind of the place that I've been in lately. But I've been blessed in the sense that God has been faithful, and like the children of Israel, God did things for them so that they could look back and say, oh yeah, I remember when God did this. He was faithful. And so just thinking about a time like that was, I'll tell you my little story here. I had worked for Linea at Ocean Hills in California. And what a sweet season that was. It was just, we had so much fun. And when Linea and Skip decided to come back here, I was very sad. And my husband and I were living in California still, and didn't know what I was going to do with Linea gone. And so my husband owns his own business, and he said, why don't you come to work for me? So I did that, and I don't know, we were there maybe 6 months, and the Lord said, you know what, it's time for you to go back to Albuquerque. And so we came back here, and Linea had called me and said, Kimber, can you come back to work for me? And I said, no, I can't. I've already committed to my husband, and we have new partners, and so I'm kind of stuck here. And in my heart, though, I really wanted to come back and work with you gals and with Linea. And so I had worked with my husband and our partners maybe 6 months. And let me tell you, gals, working with your husband is not an easy thing. He decided I was his secretary at work and at home. And like Shana, I'm not very good at being submissive. And so after a while, he finally came to me and he said, you know, I think it's time that if you want to do something else, that you should do that. And I was like, thank you, Lord. But I hadn't expressed this to Linea. And I was coming into church here for the women's Bible study on a Tuesday morning. And as I was walking in, I was just thinking, just having a conversation with the Lord, saying, you know what, Lord? I just miss the women's ministry so much. I just loved working with the gals. And it was just my heart. And again, I was just, you know, kind of sharing with the Lord what was on my heart. I wasn't asking for a position or even complaining. It was just kind of one of those statement things. And so I came in and I sat down right here next to Linea. And she leaned over and she whispered in my ear, she goes, you want a job? And I was like, what? And she goes, oh, I know Nathan will never let you go and that you're committed there, but I just wanted to throw it out. And I said, no, he just told me I can come back to work. I can do whatever I'd like. And I said, I would love to come back. And so, you know, it's those sort of things that I look back and here I am now. And the Lord, when you seek him and you seek his will, he really does give you the desires of your heart. And that is a verse from Psalms. I don't remember it off the top of my head, but sometimes those things seem small to us. It's like, you know, I was having a conversation, Lord granted that. He didn't give me $9,000 on a plate with white gloves. But even those small things, sometimes it's even the small things that we know that he cares about every little detail of our lives. And so I'm just grateful that I have those things to look back on and remember that God is faithful and that I have all you ladies right now during the season holding my arms up. So I love you. And as Linnea had said, if you're not in a small group, please join one, because without you guys and the Lord, you know, I would be in a really difficult position. So that's my moment.
Hello again, ladies. I work in the office here as the office manager, and I oversee Bible study, and I've had the privilege of helping to come alongside Lenny this semester and write. So if you don't like your questions, it wasn't me. but my watershed moment was a season where the Lord taught me about forgiveness and restoration. And he removed an obstacle from my path, and that obstacle was actually me. Imagine that. And I'm kind of still a newlywed. I've only been married about 5 years. And so it's been a difficult, because my husband and I never communicated very well. We're two very different people. If you know us, you're like night and day. But even as believers, sadly, very early on, we allowed the word divorce to come into our language, and we threw it at each other a lot. They often say that Satan uses many tools to stumble us, and pride is the handle that fits them all. And it's so true. Our pride allowed us to get those things in the way. And basically, we came into a time where we were just always in strife with each other. If it was one thing, it was another. And he made some choices and did some things that were pretty detrimental to me, to my pride, and to our marriage. And so much so that I actually got on my knees one day and asked for the Lord to release me from my marriage. The Lord kindly said no. And so my husband had asked for forgiveness, and so I granted it. And I really, truly believed I did in my heart, but things weren't getting better. And I didn't understand why, and I kept going, well, I thought I understood why. I was going, it's him. It's his sin. It's this whole thing he's got, this baggage that he's got going on. And, you know, I counseled with so many different women, and they say it takes a village to raise a child. Well, apparently it takes a village to counsel Misty, because the Lord was putting so many different women in my life, just meetings here and there. And some of you are here today. And so these pivotal moments where the Lord moved my heart. And there were women who had no idea what was going on in my life, but were giving me these messages. And I'm like, Lord, stop sending them to my office. You know, why are they calling me? And I would tell people, get out. Just get out of my office. But it was a sweet season, and one particular conversation, a very sweet woman told me, Misty, I think, I hate to sound trite, but I think the answer to your problem is simple. And I'm like, it is. It's him and his issues. And if he would just work it out, then it would be great. And she said, no. She said, you need to ask for forgiveness for everything you've ever done wrong in your marriage. And I went, I'm sorry, did you hear my story? And but as I thought about it, and as I walked away from that and had other women come to me, and then also just, and there were men, even men were coming to me, men that I respected, who had no idea what was going on and were telling me these stories about their marriage and how it worked and what it looked like in a godly aspect, it all began to sink in. Yes, my husband had made some choices, but a lot of those choices were because of my actions. He had made wrong choices, but I had also made wrong choices and made wrong actions on my own. So that same village actually prayed me through this time, and I could feel them, like Lenya said, the power of we. I knew they were praying for me, and every time I'd see them, they would just look at me and go, have you asked for forgiveness? Are you doing this? And so finally one night, I struggled with it because I felt like I had to be restored. I was going, Lord, what about me? He's the one that hurt me. I'm the one that needs to be restored. And what the Lord was trying to show me was that I was simply asking for forgiveness from my husband. The Lord would restore me. It wasn't about my husband restoring me. It was about the Lord doing it, and my husband was just going to grant me forgiveness. So one night I really had to be bold. It was after service one night, and I went home, and ladies, I had to say those seven words. I'm sorry, I was wrong, please forgive me. And sometimes those are the hardest words to say, because we want to be vindicated. We want to say, he hurt me, and it's not fair. But sometimes we have to look at what we did to get to that place. And he wasn't blameless, trust me. He participated, but it was a two-way street. We had done it to each other. And so I went, and it seemed like an eternity. It was probably only about 5 minutes, but I really literally kind of metaphorically got on my knees and said, please forgive me for everything. I mean, I poured my heart out. There were things he didn't even know. I mean, thoughts of my heart and things I had told other people, but I asked for forgiveness for every disrespectful thing I had said and thought and done, and things that disrespected him as a husband and a man and the leader of our home. And somewhere along the lines, I couldn't tell you when it happened, but somewhere in the middle of it all, I was restored. And I knew that I could stand up from that conversation, and I was forgiven by my husband, but I was restored by my Savior. And I could stand clean in his eyes. And I'll tell you, my husband looked at me in a way that he hadn't looked at me in a long time in our relationship because of all the strife. So what I thought it looked like, what I thought restoration and forgiveness looked like, it was what it looked like in my eyes and what I thought it was supposed to fit into this box. And the watershed moment was that the Lord opened it up and said, it's not what you think it looks like, it's what I think it looks, what I say it looks like in my word. And so God actually opened my eyes to what restoration and forgiveness means to him in his heart, not me and what I think it should look like in mine. And so that really is my prayer for you ladies this semester as we dive into Moses, that God revealed these watershed moments to you, that sometimes he just changes your path. And it was a drastic change. After that, things between us were very different. And I'm thankful for it, but I pray that he changes your path, that he takes you on the road that you think looks pretty good, and completely changes your scenery. Because sometimes you can go, God, I don't want to go down that road. But that's the road he needs you to go down, because he's going to teach you something and he's going to open your eyes. So that's it. That's my watershed moment. And now we have Judy Sutton coming up.
Good morning, ladies. Again, my name is Judy Sutton, and I am the morning moderator overseer. And Lenya, I named my little thing. It is entitled Growing Strong. I'm a mom of two teenagers. I have a daughter, Sarah, in ninth grade, and a son, Ian, in 10th grade. And this has been, growing strong and growing tall. This has been just a big season of change for us. It seems like yesterday I went to bed and I had a little boy, and today I wake up and I've got this man. We just got his driver's license. That's a test of faith. I get these jars and things, and I can't open them, and I hand them to him. And he just, no problem. He skis faster than I do. He does the moguls. I'm on the blues. And the hardest thing is I walked up to him the other day. I had to look up to him. He grew taller than I, and I'm not a short woman. And it just reminded me of not just growing in physical stature, but growing in faith and growing in your walk with the Lord. I looked through Exodus, and there are a lot of examples of how the children of Israel and how Moses grew in their walk in faith. It wasn't always perfect, just like our walk isn't always perfect, just like my walk is certainly not always perfect. but they grew. And that's my challenge to all of us, is to watch yourself and grow in your faith and in your walk with the Lord. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Karen Puccini, and I am the AM assistant overseer for the AM. My watershed moment came about a year ago when my mother, my brother, and I were told that the doctors could do no more for my father. He had been in the hospital for about 2 weeks, and it was time to take him home and prepare for him a bed, a comfortable bed, where he could live out the rest of his life here in the most comfortable way that we could make it for him. So just as Moses, his family prepared that tiny little bed for him in a basket and prepared to put him on the water, what faith that took to put him that day into the water and to release him to the Lord. Well, that's basically what we were doing as well. We were preparing a comfortable bed. We brought a hospital bed in for him. We made it as comfortable as we possibly could so that he could spend the rest of his time here in his home, around his family. And we were preparing to release him as Moses was released on that water that day as well. We wanted to be able to release him to our faithful Lord. So within the time frame of 4.5 months caring for Dad in his hospital bed at home, God's provision was absolutely phenomenal. A task that we no more thought we could do, especially my mother, I give her the credit here. She was so willing to come alongside and care for him in her home so that she could see him through his last days. The hospice workers, along with the precious souls that came in and out to help, to give, bring food and to pray with us, was just absolutely phenomenal. God's abundant blessings and his provision was just amazing. It was like manna coming down every day. My mom and I would look at each other and say, wow, the provision is here. We can do this. God is good. And we'd pray together and thank him. Well, shortly thereafter, my mother's back began to really give her major pain. And I looked at her and I watched what she was doing and I thought to myself, I need to take care of her as well. So I proceeded to get on the phone and try to find some help to come in and care for Dad and help with him in between the hospice visits that were the people who were coming daily. When I finally got someone who would be willing to come in two or three nights, evenings, to help Mom and to give her a break, I proceeded to tell Mom about it, and she said, yeah, I might need some help along the way. But Karen, please wait. I just want you to wait a little bit longer. And I thought, well, okay, I'll wait if you want me to. So I waited a little while. And during that time of waiting, I was able to read scripture to my father. I was able to pray with him. It was a very sweet time. And I even got to witness his rededication to the Lord. So it was a special time. Mom knew that the task that the Lord had put before her, she was also going to be given the strength to see it through. So it was a learning curve for me there as well from my mother. So after 2 more weeks of Mom's back-breaking tasks to selflessly and lovingly care for her husband of 63 years, the Lord took him home. One morning she called me and she said, Karen, I think Dad's gone home. I think he's gone home. I said, I'll be right there. So down I went, and sure enough, the Lord had taken him home, and it was truly a watershed moment for me to see and to know that my daddy wasn't with us anymore, but that he was home with the Lord, and I knew that he was face to face with Jesus. So it was truly a watershed moment how the Lord brought us through that time together as a family. And this watershed moment continues to remind me that God never, ever gives us more than we can handle. And also that he can and truly does, as Larissa reminded us, he does bring beauty for ashes. God bless you all.
You've been very patient, but isn't it neat to see how God moves in the lives of his people? And I think that you probably feel not a separation between those who get to work to make the women's ministry happen and yourselves. I don't think our lives are very different. We struggle with the same things you struggle with, and we really do hope that you feel comfortable and you found new friends today. The very last thing I'm going to do is just introduce you briefly to this notebook, and then you get to go to your small groups. So if you open up that very first page that says welcome, there's a line on the top. You might want to write your name there, so in case you set your notebook down, everybody knows who it belongs to. Otherwise, they look alike, so you won't know. So you might want to write your name there. And then also there's space for you to put your small group room and moderator's name, and you know, you'll be able to fill in her number when you get to the small group. But some of you, if you don't make it 1 week to get your homework, you can download it online. So it says your username for our homework. You just go to calvarywomenabq.org and you can download the homework. And so your username will be watershed, all in lowercase. And then your password for the homework would be spring 2010, again all in lowercase and no spaces. So if you ever have to get the homework online, that's how you do it. You can see what our weekly schedule is. We'll be here through April 20th. There's a spring break on March 16th, so don't come that week, and you'll see what texts we're covering each week and working our way through. And then on the back of that page, it shows you what the morning schedule is like. Please come early for coffee and tea, worship announcements, teaching and transition, and then small groups. So you can see everything that you need to know about timing for the women's ministry in that front section. The small group section, you're going to be going over in your small group, so I'm not going to bother to go through that. So then I'll jump into the homework. The homework section, you already have your first week's homework, and then from now on you'll get it in your small group, and or you can download it online or pick it up in the women's ministry office. But the homework has five simple elements that you will work your way through for 5 days a week. The first is to always begin in prayer, and every week we'll start with a margin that has a prayer for you to pray for that day that we want the Holy Spirit to teach you, to lead you through the homework. The second thing is you'll have a look at synopsis. And the look at will just be some commentary notes, some stories, and you'll also have a section where you'll start asking questions that are just saying, what does the text say? Who wrote this? What was going on? You know, how many people were there? They're the really simple questions. And then there's the learn about. These are the things in the margin that may be things like cultural explanations, definitions, archaeological things. So you will lift up, you will look at, you will learn about. And then you will live out. The final questions each day are questions meant to apply things to your life so that you are living God's word, being doers, not just hearers. And so you'll get into some final questions that are meant to either journal, apply, practice, and you'll still have some explanations about those things as well. And then we end each day with another story to listen to and a little quote. We always quote people who are smarter, older, brighter, more godly than ourselves as your final tidbit. So for 5 days a week, you'll go through this very simple process in God's Word. We give you Saturday and Sunday to be with your family or to attend your fellowship and learn from your pastor. And so we know that those times are just as valuable. And you'll be surprised how often the Saturday and Sunday tie into everything you've been studying all week. And you'll go, oh my goodness, I just learned about that. So you'll get your homework and put it in that homework section. Every week you'll get lecture notes when you come in. And under this section, there'll be four teachers this semester. Myself, Penny Rose, Carmen, whom you met, and Larissa will be doing the teaching this semester. So you'll stick your lecture notes in there. And then some weeks we'll have announcements for you, like the page we gave you today. And there's a final section to put your announcements in. And in that section, we have outreaches. Each semester, 1 month per semester, we pick a particular outreach because we want to be givers, not just receivers. And our first outreach is what you're going to see for February, is that Jinja, Uganda. And the missionary from there, Kelly O'Hay, will be here next week. And there's very specific things that they're asking besides prayer. If you have children's books, coloring books, crayons, certain things that they need donated, and she'll take back with her to Uganda. There's also personal things, Pepto-Bismol, I can understand, Benadryl, NyQuil, Ziploc bags. So just look at that, and you might want to bring those over the next few weeks to help out the missionary. There's quite a nice base in Uganda that we started several years ago. So we're going to come alongside them in the month of February. With that said, ladies, we're excited you're here. We're glad, and go experience the power of we in your small groups.